found particularly interesting is, to me, this dealt with integration on so many different levels. Often we think of integration as being integration of services, but this was very clearly beyond just integration of services. It was looking at all levels within the health system, so that's an area of integration. It was looking at it took a very holistic approach, where it worked with communities and facilities and made those linkages, the health boards that you described, bringing in other community organizations who may not be health. And I'd like to put it health and non-health working together for health. So I really appreciate your presentation. Thank you. Our next presenter is Amy Klein. Amy has worked in international health for nearly 10 years with a specific focus on cervical cancer prevention in developing countries. And she's been doing this for the past 6 years. She is currently the Cervical Cancer Prevention Program Manager, hard to fit on a business card, at CHPIGO. And she holds an MPH and an MSW from the University of Michigan. Amy?
Thank you for that introduction. I would like to acknowledge that I am presenting on behalf of Mr. Godfrey Nkoma, who is the local program manager based in Lilongwe, Malawi, who unfortunately cannot join us today. And I'm going to take you through CHPIGO's experience implementing a cervical cancer prevention screening program in Malawi. So here are the learning objectives. I will describe the national program, and in doing so, I'll also highlight the successes and lessons learned as a result of the process and explain some key elements needed to start or expand a similar program in other countries. For those who may not be familiar with it, Malawi is a small country of 11 million people located in southern Africa, as you can see on this map, bordered by Mozambique, Tanzania, and Zambia. Just to transport us for a moment from Egypt to its southern neighbor. Okay, just a bit of background. Cervical cancer is the leading cause of cancer deaths and the leading cause of cancer among women in Malawi, and globally is the second commonest female cancer. We know it's highly preventable when detected early. It's important to keep that in mind. And this program used the single visit approach with visual inspection with acetic acid, or VIA, as the screening modality, and cryotherapy as the treatment modality, which has been shown in many studies to be feasible, acceptable, and safe for low-resource settings. And I would like to mention that the program presented here was implemented from June 2004 through September 2007 with funds both from USAID and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Okay. So the objectives of the program were to raise awareness of the problem of cervical cancer in Malawi, to establish a sustainable system for providing the cervical cancer prevention services at various levels of the healthcare system, to increase access and availability of the services in an integrated reproductive health program, and provide quality services. So prior to this program, there had been one small project implemented, but no national screening program existed. So to achieve the objectives, a number of activities were undertaken, including formulating a national strategy and policy, convening a technical advisory group, training frontline service providers, developing local trainers, and conducting community awareness campaigns, each of which I'll describe in a bit more detail. So, sorry for the quality of this picture. I asked, is there a better picture of the technical advisory group? And I was told this was the only one. So, advocacy, as we know, is a very key component of the program. And to ensure ongoing support of stakeholders, CHPIGO convened a technical advisory group of physicians, educators, community mobilizers, and policymakers. And I like to say all of the OBGYNs in Malawi were a part of this technical advisory group, which varied between about 8 and 12. The group met quarterly They advocated for screening to be included in the essential health package. And as the program was coming to an end, the group advised the Ministry of Health on how to ensure sustainability of services. Okay. Now, another key component is training. This is a new skill that is not currently taught in pre-service education in Malawi. So the providers who are mid-level providers, midwives and clinical officers, were trained in two-week courses, competency-based courses where they practice on models as well as patients. During the program, there were 6 clinical skills training courses with 84 total providers trained. And as of September 2007, 95% were still active, which is impressive given the turnover typical in Malawi. So what you see here is a group education session that was conducted as part of the clinical skills practice component, where the providers, after about 1.5 to 2 days of training, they begin to apply their skills in the clinic. Okay, of course, after training, providers are dispatched back to their home facilities to begin providing services. So the service delivery model that was established in Malawi was based on the platform of the Family Planning and Reproductive Health Clinics. So each site had 2 to 3 providers, mainly nurses, who worked together to provide the service. They organized the service on specific days of the week and informed women in the community about the services. Women who had a positive VIA test, meaning that they may have precancer, could be treated immediately with cryotherapy or referred for more advanced care to the nearest tertiary health facility. So the equipment that is needed to provide the services, here you only see the lamp, but I just want to mention it's minimal, but even so, the program did have to provide gynae beds, lamps, specula, forceps, vinegar, and a cryotherapy unit, and a gas tank, whereas consumables such as gloves and cotton were available on site. As I mentioned, community mobilization, very important. We needed to educate the community about the importance of screening because this was, for many, the first exposure to it. So once the services were up and running and the providers were trained, then more communication efforts began. So in this photo, we see a group of men and women attending an educational session where materials were pre-tested. The program developed leaflets, flip chart, poster, and radio and TV messages, also with the assistance of Rotary International, I should mention. And it's also important to note that the Health Education Unit of the Ministry of Health led this effort. So while it was a lengthy process and may have been achieved more quickly through a communications firm, it built the capacity of the staff to develop messages on the topic of cervical cancer, something with which they were not very familiar prior. Okay, so now I'll quickly go through some key results. The program used an electronic database to capture and track data. Paper logbooks were completed at the facilities, and then each client has a record in the electronic database. Okay. So by the end of the program, services were available in 24 sites located in all 3 regions of the country, as you can see here. And in each region, there is a tertiary hospital. Okay. This slide shows that over 16,000 women were screened over a 3-year period. And of course, as the number of sites and providers increased, as did the number of women screened. And remember that the providers have many other tasks on their plate. These are family planning providers primarily who integrated this service into what they were already doing. So as we normally find in an unscreened population, about 10% were found to be VIA positive, and 3% or 585 clients were referred for lesions that were suspicious of cancer. Now, the VIA-positive clients, 24% were immediately referred because their lesions were too large. The providers are taught how to manage the VIA positive clients, and if the lesion is larger than 75% of the area of the cervix and other indications, they're told to refer for colposcopy and biopsy. 65% received cryotherapy either in the same visit or at a follow-up visit, and 11% were lost to follow-up. So now I'd just like to, in this final section, go through the four key phases that DRPGL uses in its approach for national cervical cancer prevention programs, and talk about the lessons learned and challenges in each of these phases for Malawi. So the country readiness phase involves advocacy to ensure that key stakeholders are on board. In Malawi, some of the challenges were that some stakeholders were not supportive of VIA because they worried that it would substitute pap smear, and they were concerned about false positive rates associated with VIA. Also, the cervical cancer service was not in the essential health package. It does not mean it's not an important issue, but as we know, there are many, many competing health issues. And it is still, I'm told, it's still not a part of the essential health package, but many districts have included it in their district implementation plan so that it can continue to be a part of the services offered. So we learned that results are very important to demonstrate the strength of the program. And in this case, we were able to show the VIA is a useful complement to pap smear. And we also learned that the visibility and success of the program led the district health officers to include the service in their plans. Okay. After the country readiness phase, typically is the capability development phase, which focuses on training providers and trainers to ensure the human resources needed to continue the program. So a major challenge in Malawi that you may have heard many times is the shortage of health personnel, and that the same staff have multiple responsibilities, resulting in high work burden. So introducing a new task is certainly a challenge. But we learned that staff can be trained effectively in this setting, and the program just needs to be creative to maximize the limited human resources, such as ensuring that at least one nurse is on duty at all times, that the program might be offered 2 or 3 days a week instead of every day, and then also speaking with facility managers to ask that they not transfer staff once they were trained so that they could maintain their skills, and that actually did result in few transfers, surprisingly. Okay. What do we have here? So next is performance support, which focuses on supervision. Very important part of the program is after training, providers are visited by supervisors, clinical supervisors, to ensure that they can maintain their skills and they're performing their skills to standard, and also monitoring and evaluating the program on the key indicators I discussed earlier. And I will mention the team learned that supervision visits motivated providers because they felt supported and encouraged. So the frequent visits were really key to help them continue providing the services. And the last phase, in which Malawi is now, is expansion. And it is what you think it is, expanding the services to more sites to increase access. And there are some challenges, which are obtaining equipment in some cases, since cryotherapy units are not available in the country, ensuring adequate funding, and continuing to generate awareness. So we learned, of course, that government commitment is crucial and that districts must budget for this in order to implement it in their areas. That's key to sustainability. So finally, the future plans. The Ministry of Health will coordinate all cervical cancer prevention activities under the Reproductive Health Unit and has assigned an officer. They themselves plan to scale up to 125 sites nationwide over the next 3 to 5 years. Strengthening pre-service education to make sure that midwives and other mid-level providers graduate with these skills. I didn't mention that Malawi is high HIV prevalent, so ensuring that there are links between cervical cancer prevention and HIV services. and utilizing the existing team of trainers, which is now capable of training providers on their own with no external technical assistance. So in closing, I really would like to acknowledge the efforts and commitment of the Malawian Ministry of Health, which in many ways I think is a pioneer to implement this program. Members of the technical advisory group, without whom this certainly would not have been possible, and of course the local Jupaygo Malawi staff, who made this a success in the face of very challenging circumstances.